the Aseres HaDibros, which are very different than the Aseres HaDibros in Sefer Dvarim in many ways, but probably the most dramatic difference is the introduction of an entire separate lav in Sefer Dvarim, so not just different formulations, which are all very important, but the lav of Losis Aves. So what I want to try to do over the course of the week is to think a little bit about Losis Av and Los Achmod and their relationship, because halachically speaking and textually speaking, it seems like inverted. Textually speaking, we always have Los Achmod. First of all, Losis Av doesn't even appear in Sefer Shmos, and even in Sefer Dvarim, what you have is Los Achmod Eishes Riacha, and then Losis Aveh. But halachically speaking, it's Taiva Mevi Alidei Chimod. So there's a kind of like, a paradox is way too strong a word, but there's a tension there. I'm going to try to explain that. I have some thoughts about that that will come out hopefully on Wednesday and Thursday. Lo tirtach, lo tinaf, lo tignov, lo san evreyecha yitshaker, lo sachmod beis reyecha, lo sachmod eishas reyecha, ve'avdo v'amaso v'sharo v'chamoro v'chol asher reyecha. Adkan and Shmos. V'eschanan. Lo tirtach, lo tinaf, v'lo tinaf, lo tignov, instead of Eid Shaker. Again, these are important differences. I'm just saying they're not as dramatic as the Losis Aveh. Velos Sachmod Eishes Riacha. Velosis Aveh Beis Riacha Sadehu Ve'avdo V'amaso Sharo V'chamaro V'chol Asher L'Re'echa. So one Heara, in addition to the introduction of Losis Aveh, and I'm going to make the argument that these are related, is that part of the interesting phenomenon in Sefer Dvarim in terms of the Losase side is the conjunctive vavs, right? So we might say it this way, right? That all of the things on the list of the Losases in the Aseres HaDibros, I'd like to think we could all agree are pretty offensive activities, so like murder or adultery, you know, or kidnapping, right? So these are intrinsically bad things. Lo tirtach, lo tinaf, lo tignov. But there's another perspective on them, which isn't just a matter of avera goreres avera, you know, like, you know, a life of sin, so to speak, but lo tirtach, v'lo tinaf, v'lo tigno, v'lo sanevereyecha et shav, v'lo sach moreshes reyecha, v'lo sis aveh. So the introduction of lo sis aveh comes in a very specific context. It comes in the conjunctive presentation of the lav, and that is to say, over and above the intrinsic offensive malignant nature of each of these activities, right? So the losase code of the Torah represents kind of an organic whole. There's a lifestyle that it represents, okay? And that's a very important point. In other words, you might say, okay, I as a person do not murder, and I discreetly as a person do not commit adultery. But you might also say that some of the same underlying motives that I don't murder are influence the fact that I don't commit adultery either, right? That there's some basic understanding I have of, you know, the meaning of human existence, Tzelem Elokim, etc., that prevents me from doing these entire range of activities. Everybody follow what I'm saying? I know it's a little bit of a subtle point, but that's the conjunctive vav, right? That the question is one of motive. It doesn't change the nature of the iser, but I do think that's very important. So I wanted to begin, you know, the Rambam Chabura with Ibn Ezra. You know, I guess, you know, this is what we call, you know, halachic license, so to speak. But it's a good place to start. It's one of the most famous Ibn Ezra's Al HaTorah. It's always worth seeing inside when we get up to Parshas of Yisro. Anashim Rabim Yismu Al Zos HaMitzvah. Many wondered about this mitzvah. How could it be, you know, a person sees something, you know, very appealing and, what you know, he's not allowed to feel attracted to it, you know, let's legislate behavior. You know, let's tell people, okay, you're not going to be able to take that from somebody. We'll get into the finer points later on in the week about what actually constitutes lo sisava, lo sachmod, lo sigzol, lo sashok. There are differences here all across the board. But like, you know, we don't have to legislate, you know, people's, you know, feelings. We're legislating behavior. And that's, you know, in many senses what they accuse Judaism of being all about anyway, right? Far from the truth. Somebody in their right mind, a villager, so, you know, in the olden times, in a feudal society, you know, you'd come out to the dirt road in the middle of your village and the princess would pass through in her carriage and, you know, she'd be so beautiful. And you're this, you know, villager, the son of a villager, the son of a villager, the son of a villager going back, you know, I don't know, to King Arthur or something like that. So you're not going to, you know, think to yourself, you know, oh boy, you know, I could really have that. Because you'll think, you know, it's like, you know, it'd be like flying to Pluto. In fact, that's what the Ibn Ezra says. He's not going to think about becoming a Martian, right? About, you know, ascending to the solar system. Kiviyachol. Ibn Ezra, by the way, was interested very much in the solar system and astrology, right? So v'lo yitachen li'os kasher another misavel lishkavim imo afal pishi yafa. Ki hirgilu minuura vladashi yasura. Kacha komaskal tarch shieda ki isha yafa o mamo noyim senu adam bavur chachmaso vedaito raka shir chalako Hashem. Ubavur zeha maskal o yisavav lo yachmud. He's integrating already taiva and chimud in that order. Vamar shieda shesus reo asra Hashem lo yoser hinis gava vena vibas melech belev akvari al ken hu yismach bachalko velo yisim alibo lachmud yisavos davar. She'eno shalo. Okay, now again he has chimud and taiva in the other direction. Hiada shashem lo ratzel atelo lo yukha lakachto bekocho v'machshavosav v'tachbulosav alkin yiftach b'boro she'ichalkalenu v'yase atov b'eina v'nei nishalim perish aseres advarim. So basically what he's saying is, just like social realities will influence what a person desires, right? In the Middle Ages, it wouldn't apply in the United States of America, where we're trained from the beginning of our lives, you know, from, you know, before pre-K, to think about upward mobility. You know, before you've even entered the school, they've told you, you could be the class president. You know, they didn't tell you that in a feudal society. They said, you'll be born a serf and die a serf, so get used to it, right? So before, just like social realities impact what it is a person will covet, halachic realities should determine what a person would covet. So if God said, this is not for you, because, you know, she's married to somebody, or it's not your field, so that's even more of a reality than a social reality. This is, you know, the ultimate halachic man, Ibn Ezra. Because if God said, this doesn't belong to you, then you wouldn't develop, you know, an emotional attachment to it. So that's, of course, a very high level. A lot of this presentation this week will be influenced by things that I heard from Rosenzweig. This is one of his favorite sugyas to develop. You know, and he would always talk about in this context, right, something that is less prevalent today, but used to be that smoking was much more common. And there was a phenomenon of people who were chemically addicted to nicotine, I mean, to cigarettes, who actually would not experience that sense of addiction on Shabbos. And boy, as soon as Havdalah came, they would, like, be running outside, you know, to have that cigarette because, you know, Asra HaTorah. And somehow chemically it impacted their, you know, taiva. This is a well-documented phenomenon. So sometimes a halachic reality can impact, you know, and it should impact, you know, one's inner world. And in that sense, you know, Rosenzweig always used to like to say it represents the crescendo, the climax of the Aseres HaDibros, because the Aseres HaDibros, you know, it doesn't just legislate our behavior, but it actually, in the form of Losach mode, calls upon us to sort of shape our inner world in light of the Ritzon Hashem. In other words, even that which I would desire should be influenced by what God told me is mine and that which is not mine. So God willing, from here, what we'll do is we'll try to understand and define all the specifics of the Isurim and, you know, cover this very moving and I think elegant sugya over the course of the coming week. Okay.